Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Add This to Your List, episode 64. I'm one of your co-hosts, Fumi Simano, and I am joined by two fantastic gentlemen, Mark J. Parker and Tom Chuba. How are you guys?
Wow, what a nice intro.
I know, I love it.
Thank you.
You know. How are you guys doing? How's it been? It's been a little bit of a time since we talked. I know, Mark, you just came back from a little adventure.
Yep, just came back from Maine. Hey, everyone, shout out. My cottage is available this summer to rent out. Hit me up if you want to, you know, go up to Maine.
You better do it right. Tell them Airbnb. What's the deal?
Yes, Airbnb. VRBO? We tried VRBO. You know, it's funny. We tried that, but, like, they wanted so much paperwork, and we had just closed, I didn't have it. They were hardcore. No, Airbnb. Check us out on Instagram, Little Maine Blueberry Cottage. But so we were just, the water just turned on. So this was the first weekend. And so we were doing yard work and getting everything all, you know, in pitch perfect summer shape. So, and made it back cool. In great time. It's so nice this time of year. The traffic is less than 4 hours.
I was going to say, soon, how long does that take you?
No, on a good day, 4 hours. Pretty soon, when it's like in the, you know, heat of the summer, it'll take at least 5, baby. Ooh. At the very least. Ooh. So, yeah. Anyway, how are you guys?
Mark or Tom, how are you? What's going on?
I'm okay. I had most of my weekend has been focused on my dog. A couple weeks ago, talked about how I had an ill dog. Finally got her into the cardiologist this week because it was that long of a wait. And got some encouraging news, but she's now on like 5 medicines. And so keeping track of the schedule of when she needs to take what has been quite challenging. And she's with me for the whole week. And one of the medicines is a diuretic, so it's going to make her urinate a lot more. And I'm like, oh, please don't make me come home from work to like piss all over the floor. So we'll see how that goes.
Oh, man.
That was a pleasant visual for our
listener. Oh, yeah.
On a lighter note.
I'm good. I had a really good weekend. I went out yesterday and then today I just finished off. I'm planning a very big trip for the summer, and I still had like a couple things I needed to do in terms of like little like train rides, like in between cities and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Totally.
And then I needed to figure out when I was coming home, so I just booked my flight back to Jersey.
Oh, fun!
So
when are you gonna be back?
I'm gonna come back June 8th, and then we'll hang out. We'll do something.
Ooh.
And then I'm gonna come back to LA probably in like July.
Okay. Wow.
So
okay.
Time. Cool. So we can talk offline about when we wanted to do that thing that we've been trying to do.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Listeners, little sneak peek. Maybe all three of us will be in the same room together.
Maybe. Who knows? Okay. So for this episode, we're going to go through our... why can I never remember the way that we catchphrase that? Oh, my God.
Housekeeping and headlines.
And then we're going to get into our list. And then I've got a little something for you guys, listeners, because there's no shame in my game that I'm obsessed with Marvel. And obviously, if you're alive, you know that the last movie came out this past weekend. And I saw it. So I've been challenged to rank all of the 22 films in the Marvel Cinematic Universe from my least favorite to favorite, and I've done that.
Wow, awesome. How long did that take you, Foom?
Like 15 minutes.
Oh, wow, okay.
She's like, it was easy. I think about it all day, every day.
It's like, seriously. So I'm gonna do that, and then that's our show.
Love it. Oh, I'm excited. Cool.
So let's start with some housekeeping. We've kind of got a lot because stuff has been going down and we're always in the know. So we always talk about everything. So Mark, why don't you go first?
Totally. So on the housekeeping side, I don't really have, you know, much new news, but I just had to briefly mention some exciting things that I've talked about before on the show. So the first one, Cinemia, which we know, you know, was like MoviePass and was kind of going strong there for a while. And then we discussed how they were really crashing and burning. Well, bitch, they are officially over.
Bye.
They've shuttered business in the U.S. They were a foreign company. I forget exactly where they started, but they have literally they announced it like on the day the latest Avengers movie came out. They said, don't even try to use our service. Like, Americans, we are closed. We're over. Cinemia, as you know it, is totally done. So rejoice. Goodbye. Hopefully, if anyone out there has Cinemia, make sure you check your accounts and make sure you're not getting, you know, you're not paying your monthly fee, because I wouldn't put it past them that you still are. Even
remind us again how much that fee was.
Well, honestly,
it
totally varied for me. At first, I thought I signed up for $9.99 a month, and then all of a sudden, maybe 6 months later, I had $17.99 a month.
No.
Well, to be fair, 6 months later, I tried to use it again, because I used it successfully a few times, but then I had no account anymore. They had randomly shut down a lot of people's accounts. So to rejoin, it was bumped up to $17.99.
Wow, so, shady business practices.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, very shady. So bye, bitch. See you, Cinemia. But, you know, the sad news is, you know, still, this is another one that, you know, didn't work. So it seems like the only movie theater subscriptions kind of services out there that are working is actually really just AMC. You're going to have to go to a specific chain, not try to do these, you know, memberships that could go anywhere. You know, they're just not working, as we know.
Crazy.
So yeah, so bye, Cinemia. But then my other little tidbit, I just want to shout out, guys, Sigourney Weaver, as I mentioned before, is the best. I'm ready to vote for her for president. I love her. And she had surprised the audience and the cast and crew of that high school play of Alien that I was telling you about a couple weeks ago in North Jersey at the North Bergen High School. They did two performances of Alien. They adapted, you know, their own script from the iconic movie. Mm-hmm. And so Ridley Scott and Sigourney Weaver, they heard all about it. It went viral. So Ridley sent them $5,000, and Fox, which is funny because Fox now, of course, we know is ABC, but Entertainment Weekly reports that 20th Century Fox flew Sigourney Weaver out there. There's a video online. If you haven't watched it yet, please do. She's walking down the hall and surprises them, and they're screaming and crying and hugging her. I cried. I'm not going to lie. I cried so much. Aww. Watching it. I think it's so cool. She did a little intro for the audience. I just think it's really amazing. I think it's so awesome to see big stars celebrate, you know, small little high school theater and this great imagination. So honestly, she is the best. I love her. Go check out that video if you haven't yet.
I love that. Tom, what's on your agenda?
So I will hit a housekeeping item. So it seems like a couple weeks ago we talked about Steven Spielberg was trying to stir the pot and cause some shit about Netflix and the Academy. And it looks like the Academy is, to use Fumi's phrase, telling Spielberg to have several seats.
Oh, yes.
They are not going to change the rules as far as streaming and streaming's eligibility goes as far as the Academy Awards. So I guess in solidarity to you guys, I'll say kudos to the Academy for understanding how things are shifting and where it's at right now and where the market wants to go. And good for you.
Did we really think that the Academy was going to vote against Netflix? Did we haven't thought about that?
Well,
I thought they might.
I really wasn't sure. I didn't think they were going to like really go against Netflix, but I mean, when you have Spielberg and, you know, other people, I'm sure, on his side, you kind of have to hear both sides. But I was wondering if they really were going to change the eligibility and because he wanted at least, what, like 3 weeks of a movie in theaters to qualify.
Yeah.
But they're sticking with just the 7-day, 1 week minimum requirement of a film should be in a Los Angeles County theater for 7 days. And then if it goes to Netflix right after that or during that, they don't care. As long as it's in one theater for a week. So there you go.
Well, I'm, you know, guys know I stand for Netflix, so I'm happy about that for sure.
Oh yeah. I think it's a good way to just, you know, make sure you have diversity and, you know, it feels right. Totally. And did you hear they changed? They officially are not calling it the best foreign language film anymore. They're calling it best international film.
Oh,
I guess to make film more of a universal thing, they realized, like, why are we calling this foreign language? It's not a foreign language to people from that country.
Yeah.
So now it's just international, which is cool.
I like that.
Yeah.
Respect. I will go through my housekeeping and then segue into some headline news. So, Disney Fox is, you know, things keep happening and still keep... Actually, who put this one in here?
I put it in there just so we could briefly chat because we had talked about it before. But you want to take it, Phil?
Actually, why don't you take it since I also have two headline
items.
Or headline items, too.
Sure. So as we, you know, we've talked a lot about this whole Disney Fox merger, and so the latest update that I thought was pretty interesting, we were talking about this offline, was you know, things are still not as clear as some would think, where lots of projects that were already in development on either side are being scrapped, being moved, changing. So some movies that were already on the docket, Disney has closed down development on films called Mouse Guard, On the Come Up, Fruit Loops. I don't know what a lot of these are. Oh, On the Come Up was actually the sequel to The Hate U Give.
Oh,
did you guys know that?
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
And The Hate U Give did not do good.
No, it did not. And it's a really good movie,
too. I know.
Too.
It's such a shame.
That's a shame. I mean, hopefully it moves to maybe they do it on streaming or something. I mean, you know, but as of right now, they're not moving forward with stuff like that that was already in the works. So, you know, that's kind of crazy and shitty that, you know, things that already got the go-ahead from some entity, now it's like, oh, wait, never mind. You know, you're out of a job.
Yeah.
But that's the way it goes in mergers and acquisitions. It happens in corporate America, too.
That's what happens when the cookie crumbles.
Yeah, so some of those, one of them was News of the World starring Tom Hanks. I guess that's been scrapped.
Which is a little surprising because Tom Hanks is such a big name and such a draw.
Yeah.
I'm actually kind of surprised by that.
Oh, it looks like that specific film with Tom Hanks has been moved to Universal. So at least they're trying to, you know, push them onto other companies. But and then Fruit Loops was a dramedy starring Woody Harrelson. And this is unlikely to find a home as of right now. So,
Yeah.
We'll see what happens, but that's all I got.
Well, I have just an update on the Fox Bones lawsuit that we've talked about, I think, twice before. So I don't know where we were. I missed this. I don't know if you guys caught this, but Fox lost in arbitration. They lost. It was like $32 million in damages, plus another 10, plus another 9. So it's arbitration, right? So basically companies want you to go through arbitration if there's a lawsuit. So they're probably going to eat that loss to the producers and the stars of Bones. But what they were surprised by, Fox was very surprised by, the judge in arbitration also awarded the producers and the stars of Bones $128 million in punitive damages.
That is hardcore.
And so Fox said,
that seems a little extra to me. I don't know.
Fox said, nuh-uh. You, as the judge, you went above and beyond your position in arbitration. We're going to fight that because that is a lot to eat. But I guess the judge's opinion was that Fox executives so maliciously and calculatedly lied that they deserve, Fox deserves to be punished. So it's interesting because obviously this was when Bones was on Fox prior to the merger of Disney. So it's like, is Disney going to have to eat that cost now?
That's a good question. I didn't think about that. Oh boy. I'm sure they'll be like, no, this belongs to this division.
Well, that's going to probably get caught up in lawsuits and appeals for who knows how long.
Yeah.
You know, which is crazy.
Wow. Crazy money.
And so then some new headlines we have are Endgame shattering box office records, $1.2 billion globally.
That is insane. That's a record film, right?
It
broke every single box office record that exists.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like worldwide, domestic, everything.
I'm not shocked.
When I tell
you guys, and I'll get into more of this when I talk about Endgame later. When I tell you guys, I saw a 10:15 showing.
Mm-hmm.
At night, the movie's 3 hours long. It was packed. The theater was packed like a Saturday afternoon.
Wow.
Like,
that's amazing.
Every single seat filled, the lobby of the theater, people joking, laughing. It was pure crazy. It was just crazy.
I saw a picture online on social that the Alamo Drafthouse in Brooklyn posted a sign at their door saying every single Avengers showing for the whole weekend was sold out. Every one of them. That's amazing and crazy, and it's just so crazy that April is now certified like summer tentpole blockbuster month.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that was never really part of it before. You know, remember it always started like in May.
Yeah,
the big summer movies.
Now it's like the last week of April.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing is Santa Clarita Diet was canceled by Netflix. Mm-hmm. Were you guys fans? Did you guys watch that show?
No.
I didn't love it, and I talked about it that briefly. I forget, I compared it to something I talked about recently on the show.
Oh, you did. It was something about, like, a dead carcass special. Or something?
Oh, special. Yes, you're right, yeah. Tom. Yeah, just how, just dead carcass. just how both shows are just a little over the top, but likable. And I feel bad that I sort of badmouthed Santa Clarita Diet now, because I know it had diehard fans, and it's not like I didn't want it to succeed. I love the two of them, and it had a fun premise. It just really wasn't my cup of tea. But yeah, they canceled it, and like only a few weeks after season three just hit.
Well, they did. Yeah. Fans are not happy about it. It was a trending on the Twitter about people canceling Netflix because they canceled Santa Clarita Diet. And I don't know if I've mentioned this on the podcast before, but Netflix kind of does this thing with their algorithm where they put so much money up for shows that if, like, people don't watch, if they don't have the viewership, they do cancel shows after the third season.
And that's cool, but you shouldn't end it on a cliffhanger. I think that's why people are so upset in particular, is because season three ended with a very big cliffhanger.
Yes, I did hear that.
Yeah.
So if you're gonna potentially cancel a show after its third season, tell your writers to kind of wrap up the storylines neatly that it could serve as a season finale or a series finale.
I totally agree with that.
Right, totally.
All right, well, that's it for our housekeeping and headlines. Let's get into our list.
Yes.
Tom, take it away.
Okay, first thing on my list is Taylor Swift's new song and video, Me. And I'm chuckling because I'm throwing my husband the biggest bone right now because he is a huge Taylor Swift fan. I, on the other hand, think she's rather overrated, but whatever. Her new video hit this week on Friday, as of this recording, this past Friday. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, check it out. Add it to your list. The video. Do not listen to the song alone. You have to watch the video.
I heard the song. I haven't seen the video yet, but I did see a clip, and it looked
very
pastel.
A lot of pastel.
It's super cool, guys. It's funky. It's like very trippy. Feels like an acid trip. I got very big Moulin Rouge vibes from it. Oh. She's in Paris. She starts the videos yelling at Brandon Urie because he's featured on the song with her from Panic at the Disco. By the way, I had never seen him in person. Like, I had never known what he looked like. He is really cute.
Tom, wait a minute. You had never seen a picture or video of
Brandon Urie? No, I've been a fan of Panic for a long time, but I've just never happened to catch him in a performance.
Oh, my God.
But he's cute. He's
like
super
a gay
cute.
Icon, but he's not gay.
Well, he's pansexual, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So the video opens with them yelling at each other in French, and both of them do pretty well at speaking French, I have to say. And then she's like, je suis calme, and she slams the door and then goes out into the streets of Paris and start singing the song. But it was like very Alice in Wonderland meets Moulin Rouge, trippy kind of vibe. Lots of colors, lots of pastel, like Fumi said. There's a cool thing where Brandon Urie opens up his jacket sleeve, like he's opening up his heart, and then it fades into another scene. Very cool. I would highly recommend it. The song is catchy. I don't love it. It's not going to be my song of the summer, but you know, I'll give Taylor some props, and I put her on my list, so check it out.
Yeah, it's a catchy song. Yeah.
I think that's
Fumi, have you heard it or no?
I've heard the song. I think it's super stupid. Hey, kids. Did you see the video? Spelling is fun. Like, really, Taylor? You're 30 years old.
Yeah.
Like, let's not. Let's not.
And then,
that.
Like, she has her, it's her debut of her second cat, her new cat.
Third cat.
Oh, her third cat. Okay. See, you clearly know more about Taylor than I do.
Oh.
Second thing on my list, and this just premiered an hour ago as of this recording on CBS. The Red Line. I'd been talking about this for a while. It is the new show that is produced by Greg Berlanti and Ava DuVernay. Stars Noah Wiley as a very distinguished white principal, and he's married to a black doctor. They are a gay couple. They have a child together. She is a senior in high school, in the high school for which Noah Wiley is the principal. Harrison, the black guy, unfortunately, in a very bad altercation, gets mistaken as a robber by a white Chicago police officer, and he gets shot and killed. And so the show explores how that tragedy affects several people's lives, including the police officer and his partner, including, obviously, Noah Wiley and his daughter, who are left surviving after Harrison passes away, and including a woman who is considering running for city council to get Chicago to clean up its act, because we all know Chicago got some problems. So it is going to be 8 episodes, 2 hours each. CBS is going to run it over 4 weekends, over 4 Sunday nights. I just caught the first full hour, and then Jeff wanted me to pause it so he could go watch Game of Thrones. Because it's the Battle of Winterfell, which is like apparently the episode where many people are going to die tonight. Whatever. Who cares? We are not a Game of Thrones podcast. But I will say this about The Red Line. Add it to your list. It is very good. It's still got that network feel, but I have to say it's bold and daring for CBS. I mean, they're out there showing the diversity. They're out there trying to really delve deep into the issues of Chicago. A little part of me felt like this show could have been really, really, really good if it were on Netflix or some other streaming service, because they could actually go there. But I'm impressed. The writing is good. Noah Wiley, the acting is very strong. He made us both cry within the first hour several times. So I'm definitely going to check out every single episode that follows. Add it to your list.
Do you think it's going to do well, Tom?
I don't know. I was wondering that tonight. I actually can't wait tomorrow to log on and see what kind of ratings it pulled in. I haven't seen a lot of promotion for it. Have you guys?
No.
Yeah, I have not seen much at all. Honestly, you're the one that told me it was premiering. So,
same.
Yeah, I'm worried about it.
I'm worried too. But it does have an 87% on Rotten Tomatoes. Mm-hmm. So the critics are liking it. So maybe that will, maybe in a couple weeks, people will start tuning in. Maybe it'll have better live +7 numbers than just live. We'll see. I don't know. I hope it does well, because it, like I said, it's kind of a big leap for CBS. Did you watch it, Foom, or no?
No, it's not on yet by me, but I'm not going to watch it.
I have to say, I do think her new Netflix show that's coming soon with Disgraced, what's her name, looks good. The Central Park 5?
Yeah.
Oh, right.
That looks good.
Yeah, and Queen Sugar's excellent, so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She's got a good track record as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, she definitely does. She definitely does. All right, Mark, what's on your list?
All right, y'all. So I got two things that I'm excited to tell y'all about this week. So the first one is a TV show I have been waiting for. It feels like forever, and it's out, and I finally got to watch the first 2 episodes, and that is Netflix's Lunatics. So Lunatics just came a couple weeks ago on Netflix. It's 10 episodes. The first 2 are 35 minutes each, so it's about a half an hour comedy. It stars and is created by my favorite person ever, Chris Lilly, who, if you know Chris Lilly, he has done everything from Jimé and Jonah and Mr. G. He's this Australian comic who creates these great characters. And he's done a lot of shows on HBO. I kind of really opened my world opened his world with Jimé. So, and then I just did a deep dive into everything else. He's been around for a while. Have you guys ever watched anything?
I don't even know who that is.
Oh my God, guys, you haven't watched Jimé, Private School Girl?
No.
Oh my God, I quit. This is crazy. I can't believe oh my God. Okay, first of all, when we're done recording, y'all need to watch an episode of Jimé, because it's amazing. And so anyway, Lunatics, Chris Lilly, it's a mockumentary. So he plays multiple characters. This is the first show in a while that he's playing multiple characters. For a while there, he was only playing one character in one season of a show, and it was that character's story. So he plays 6 characters in this show, and I'm going to quickly run down who they all are, because they are all so wacky and amazing. Some I like more than others, so I'll tell you what. So first is Keith Dick, who is a older man, fashion wannabe, who is in love with Karen, a cash register, and it shows him humping Karen the cash register.
What?
Then there's that. Oh, yep. Then my personal fave. He plays Becky Douglas, a 7'3" college girl who has moved to California to attend college with her non-identical twin sister, who comes up to basically her waist. She is so tall that her hair gets stuck on her dorm room fan. And it's amazing, guys. It's so funny. And As of the first two episodes, we don't know exactly why she is so freakishly tall, but it is just so funny to see him with his long brown hair, and he's like, oh my god, I'm so ready for college, and his legs are just so long, and they're very thick and fat, and he has fat ankles. I don't know what's going on there, but it's hilarious. Next up is Gavin McGregor. I didn't find this character that funny at first, but he's growing on me. He is an obnoxious 12-year-old with this huge gut, and he is so obsessed with sex, and like he always goes up to women and he's like, hey, you want my D? And he's this obnoxious little brat, and he's destined to become the future Earl of an English country estate. So he's totally out of his element. It's really funny. His aunt and uncle own this amazing castle, and he doesn't give a shit about it. He just wants to, like, all he wants to do is lose his virginity. Then, oh, another favorite is Jana Melhoopin-Jonks. He plays a South African lesbian pet psychic to the stars. So this is interesting. He's kind of come a little under fire because even though this character, Jana, is South African, and I remember in photos in the episode has a white mom, I think she might have a black dad. So he's sort of playing another race, sort of in blackface, sort of. But it's kind of a Rachel Dolezal look where it's like lighter skin, but like kind of like a fro. But anyway, Jana is hilarious and talks to these dogs and thinks and like works with the stars and is telling them like what she can hear the dog saying to her. It's great. Then there's Quentin Cook, an incompetent real estate agent who's about 30 years old. He's a total surfer dude. He's very arrogant. He loves EDM. He dreams of becoming a famous DJ, and he has a huge ass. He and his brothers all have huge asses. So as he's showing like real estate, he's always knocking things over with his butt. And then last but not least, the oddest character is Joyce Jeffries, a former adult star. So, and they show like Chris Lilley's face on a naked woman's body in old porn videos. This famous porn star who has become an extreme hoarder and is agoraphobic, does not like to go outside without wearing a mask. She is Looney Tune. Guys, this show, it's funny.
It sounds like a great stoner trip.
Oh, Tom, absolutely. You should absolutely add that to your list. But it's really fun. It's not as funny as his previous shows, in my opinion, but if you stick with it...
Oh, he's just ugly.
Well, okay. Did I say he was cute? I mean, shit.
Sorry. He's ugly. I just had to Google and see who the hell Chris Lilley was, so...
Oh my god, Tom. Okay. Fumi, you might have to edit that out. I don't want Chris Lilley to hate this podcast. I want him to come on the show one day. But anyway, it's not as funny as his other shows where, like, I would shake with laughter and, like, I'd get so hot and cry and, like, it was so funny. I'm not laughing to that extent here, but stick with it. It's such a fully realized world that he and his team has created. Tons of great art direction. I mean, when this former porn star is in her house and she wants to have a museum of junk and it's all this shit in her house, it's incredible how they had that. It's just amazing. So I recommend it. I think Chris Lilley is a comic genius. I can't believe you guys haven't watched any of his stuff. Get on that and add Lunatics to your list.
Okay.
So that's my first item. Second item is the movie Teen Spirit, which came out earlier in April, a few weeks ago, starring Elle Fanning, directed by her boyfriend. I didn't realize this was her boyfriend. Max Minghella, who is also currently on Handmaid's Tale and has been around for a long time. So this is his feature film debut. He wrote, directed, and produced it. It's a feature film. It's a lot of style over substance, but guys, add it to your list. I actually really liked it, and it's really stuck with me. It's not the most complicated, you know, dynamic. It's not breaking the mold. If anything, it's kind of giving you exactly what you want, but there's a lot of beauty to it, and there's some great, you know, acting and character stuff. So let me tell you a little about it. So Teen Spirit is a really, it basically is kind of like American Idol, but as a scripted film. So Elle Fanning is this teenager. She's about 17, 18, still in high school. She's kind of mousy, you know, kind of like a, you know, fly on the wall, not a popular girl at all. She works very hard when she's not in school because she lives with her Polish immigrant mother, and they're, you know, they have a nice house in a very rural part of the UK, but dad left them and they very much have to you know, work hard to survive. So Elle is, she plays Violet, who is a waitress at a bar restaurant at night. She's a hustler. She desperately wants to sing and loves music, and that's kind of her only escape. So in comes this teen spirit, you know, contest, singing contest. And she's sort of like scared to admit it, but she really wants to do it. And so the, you know, bitchy girls at school are all into it. And they're like, you know, Violet, are you going to do it? That kind of thing. And she doesn't say it, but to herself, she's like, hell yeah, because actually she has a great voice. And I have to say, some people don't think Elle Fanning's voice is so great based on the soundtrack is also on Spotify. I definitely recommend the soundtrack. That's like the movie's music is incredible. But I actually quite like her voice. I think she is sort of an odd actress. And her speaking voice is sort of this airy kind of monotone, but it works for the songs. But so some of the songs, and if you've seen any of the trailers, you've heard these before, but some of the songs she sings are Dancing on My Own from Robin, Lights by Ellie Goulding, Good Time, which was that like catchy song from Carly Rae Jepsen and some band. Mm-hmm. Don't Kill My Vibe from Sigrid. The soundtrack, like I said, is killer. There's a few songs that are, you know, the original version of the song that she does not sing that also were on there that are great. There's a great little kind of time lapse part when she's auditioning for the show and there's choreography, and that's to Katy Perry's E.T., which is really cool. But it's basically just showing how she is hustling and trying to get further and further along this competition while juggling all of her other responsibilities. And she meets this mess of a man at the bar restaurant she works at and sometimes sings at, and he ends up being her manager. And he actually kind of, it's a really touching kind of relationship, even though he's totally like, he looks like Hagrid from Harry Potter. He's such a mess. Mm-hmm. He also was a singer back in the day, and he believes in her. And, you know, when her mom thinks this is sort of just a fairy tale dream, she turns to him. And it's a nice kind of father-daughter bonding kind of story. And I really like it. The end is quite emotional. I don't want to give anything away, but...
it sounds a lot like Dumplin'.
Oh, that's so interesting. This is far superior than Dumplin'.
I love Dumplin'.
Oh, I haven't watched
really
that yet.
Yeah, I did.
I liked the beginning of it, and then I was like, this movie is still on? Dumplin' to me was... Dumplin' was a strikeout. I have to tell you, I almost talked about it on the podcast as a skip that shit.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
Anyway, uh-uh. I don't... Anyway, that aside, Teen Spirit, I think, is just a little stronger than that. But yeah, Tom, I could see some similarities, but it's kind of fun because I don't know if they were poking fun at American Idol or they just really kind of watched Idol, The Voice, all those shows. But like, you know, later on, once the stakes are getting higher and higher and Rebecca Hall is a sort of Simon Cowell-like judge/producer, you know, it just feels very much like, oh my God, I've seen this kind of stuff on TV where like, you know, it's kind of cheesy, but the stakes are high. I would say add it to your list. Again, style over substance. You're not going to be seeing anything that is going to be, you know, really remembered for the rest of history. But I think Max Minghella put something pretty cool together. It's very visual and it hits the right notes emotionally. So check out Teen Spirit. I think it's kind of on its way out of theaters. I had the time of my life seeing it in the theater with only 4 other people. So, you know, that was awesome for me. Not so great for the movie because they want to make money. But I loved it. So by the time you hear this, it probably is not playing at that many theaters near you. But check it out, you know, later on when it's streaming or on demand or, you know, digital.
Okay.
So that's what I got.
Sweet. Okay, so I only have one thing on my list because it's special for me, and I just wanted to pay respect to this movie solely. Avengers Endgame, add it to your list. I don't even know why I'd have to tell you that.
Right.
Okay, so.
Avengers. Are we going to do spoilers or no?
I mean.
Let's put it out there right now.
I won't spoil major moments.
Okay.
But I am going to talk about the movie, and at this point, I mean. I don't want to spoil too much because Mark hasn't seen it, but...
Yeah, but I mean, I also have waited too long to really jump into these movies, so whatever. And honestly, I'm probably only going to know half of what you're talking about, so just go for it. Okay.
So, Avengers Endgame. It is part 2 of Infinity War that came out last year. Mm-hmm. And at the end of Infinity War, Thanos had disappeared half of the population on Earth. So people just disappeared into dust. Did you guys do...
Including many of the Avengers.
Including many of the Avengers. Mm. Did you guys do what I told you to do by Googling Thanos? Did
you see what happened? That was fun. Totally, yeah.
It just, like, disappeared to Google browser? Genius marketing.
I love it.
Shout out to Marvel. Anywho.
Totally.
So, Avengers Endgame starts, like, immediately right after. Like... Mm. They are, the remaining Avengers are in the midst of, like, we have got to do something. We have got to figure out how to get everybody back. Track down Thanos. Let's get this done. And the reason why they do this is because Scott Long, who's Ant-Man, Paul Rudd, like, comes back. I hadn't seen Ant-Man and the Wasp, so this was the only part of the film that was confusing for me. He just, like, appears. Oh. But it turns out he had time traveled and he was supposed to come back at the end of Ant-Man by time traveling. But he doesn't because the people who were supposed to hit the button to get him to come back ended up disappearing when Thanos snapped his fingers.
Oh,
because I watched that. Oh, I'm so glad I watched that then because I watched Ant-Man and the Wasp. The end was this weird kind of cliffhanger. Yes, with buttons not being pressed. Yes, exactly.
Well, the cliffhanger was answered in Endgame.
Okay, cool.
So he comes back. He's super confused as to what's going on, what's happening. He runs to go see that his daughter's still alive. She is, but then he's like, I got to talk to the Avengers. So he goes to the Avengers and he talks about, you know, this whole quantum realm and time traveling. And he thinks that he knows the way to get everybody back. So the Avengers then go to Iron Man to, because he's the only one smart enough who could figure out how to do a time machine. The Avengers go to Iron Man to try to figure out a way to get Thanos, what Thanos did, undone. And there's a reason why they do this. I won't tell you. I won't spoil what that reason is. I'll leave that one for you, Mark.
I know that kills you. That totally kills me. She wants to spoil everything.
Well, yeah. No, I mean, there's something to leaving mystery. We don't want to tell every single minute of the film.
Oh, totally,
So this basically sets off the events of Endgame. So essentially, they learned how to time travel. Iron Man, Tony Stark figures it out, and they break up into teams, the remaining Avengers, to go back into time to get the Infinity Stones before Thanos has a chance to get them. So in that way, they can get all the Infinity Stones, assemble it, and then undo everything Thanos did. So you get all of these fun flashbacks when they go back in time because, like, so, like, Captain America, Iron Man, and Incredible Hulk go back to the events of Avengers Ultron. And like, smack dab in the middle of, like, them fighting in the big, like, scene in the city. It's so stinking cool. And then Thor, oh my God, something is so funny with Thor. I don't even want to tell you because honestly, it was quite possibly one of the best moments of the film to be completely surprised by. But I have to say, I love what they did with Thor's character and what they did with Iron Man's character. Wow. I thought that it was quite possibly one of, like, the best little, like, surprises that you get within the movie. So Captain America, Tony Stark, and Incredible Hulk go back to New York. So you get Age of Ultron, then you get Doctor Strange movie in there. It's, like, great.
Oh, wow.
And then Thor and Rocket, who's from Guardians of the Galaxy, go back to Asgard. And so you get the moment of, like, Thor, because, like, Thor gets to see his mom, so it's before she dies. You also get Natalie Portman. She's in the movie, too.
I meant to ask you, Foom. I meant to ask you, because I saw she was at the premiere, and she's only, well, I guess she was in the first two Thors.
She's in the first two Thors. She doesn't say anything.
But you kind of.
She has no speaking, but you see
her. Neither does Michelle Pfeiffer, right?
No, Michelle Pfeiffer doesn't either, but you see them.
Okay, cool. That's fun.
So that was
super fun. They packed it all with everyone.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, they really did.
I kind of forget that Natalie Portman's part of the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
You know, because that was so long ago. But yeah, she had a huge role. Uh-huh. Yeah.
You get Stan Lee in a flashback from, like, the 70s, which is so amazing and so great, too, where Tony gets to meet his father. It just was so good. So, of course, when they're back in time, nothing necessarily goes according to plan. And there are some hiccups along the way. And Nebula, who is from Guardians of the Galaxy. She used to be bad. She's better now. Right. But unfortunately, when they go back into time for Nebula, which goes back to the Guardians of the Galaxy movie, Thanos discovers their plan of, like, capturing all the Infinity Wars. I mean, all the Infinity Stones. And they capture Nebula. And they use past Nebula to get her to go back to future Nebula's place so that bad Nebula can bring in past Thanos. Did that make sense?
What?
Let's just rank these movies.
It is so good, you guys. I just have to say that, like, I was in complete awe of this entire movie. Just
it sounds like it took a lot of brain power.
The way that they brought everything together. I mean, if you've seen every single movie, all 22 films for the past 11 years, it made perfect sense. There was, like, no stone unturned. The Russo's brothers made special, like, appearances in the movie. They even had a kid from Iron Man make an appearance that, like, you'd have to, like, Google and research it for it to make sense, but it does. Wow. So the attention to detail was astounding.
And who directed this one? The Russo brothers?
The Russo brothers.
And did they do the one last year?
Yes. They did both. Okay, they did both Infinity War and Endgame back to back. They just filmed them together.
Okay. Makes sense. Yep.
Not all the Avengers make it, so you shouldn't be expecting to have all of them survive. But
is it sad?
Oh, it's so sad. I mean, so one incredibly heartbreaking scene is when they finally beat Thanos. And you're in the theater and you're hearing people crying. You're hearing sniffles. Wow. Like, people are sobbing. And this one idiot in my theater decides to be like, "Oh," and I guess he thought people were going to laugh. Nobody laughed.
Oh, God. Not with these diehards.
Nobody laughed. Wow. People were like, this fool. He sure did feel stupid. He really, really did. But and then that scene ends. But then the funeral is so beautiful. But then you get another really beautiful moment at the very, very, very end of the film. That was just such a perfect way to put to bed two characters that people have just fallen in love with.
Wow.
And have just had great movies. And it's really going to be sad to see the Avengers go. There is one part of the film that is a little confusing because this character has a movie that's getting worked on, but that character does not make it.
So it'll
be interesting to see how they answer that question.
Well, also, they're going to make a third Guardians, too, which is like...
Yeah, but all of the Guardians are alive at the end of... I mean, they got everybody back. I mean...
But isn't this the end of the... Like, any movie, like...
No, technically...
Could you have a future story from here?
No, technically, the Marvel Cinematic Universes are divided up into phases. So this was the end of, technically this is not the end of phase 3, Spider-Man Home, I think Far From Home.
Oh, yeah.
That'll be technically the official end of phase 3.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Is Spider-Man in this one?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because that comes out this summer.
That comes out this summer.
I like Spider-Man a lot.
Yeah, so that'll technically be the official end of this phase, and then the Guardians, I guess, will be part of another phase. But I wouldn't hold your breath for that movie. James Gunn finally just got rehired, and he's also working on Suicide Squad, so who knows when he'll start working on Guardians, and who knows when that'll come out. But all in all, phenomenal movie. I mean, I laughed, I cried, I was emotionally drained when I got home. I went through it. They brought me up, they had me down. They had me up, they had me down. I just loved every single part of it, moment of it. It was fantastic.
It was everything you would ever want.
Everything you would ever want. And it was a great nod to the comic books because at the very end of the movie, Captain America passes on the shield for Captain America to the Falcon, Anthony Mackie's character, which happens in the comic books. It was just so good.
Wow.
Cool. So good.
Nice. I'm happy for you.
Be happy for the millions of people who contributed to the $1.2 billion box office it got.
Yeah, totally.
I'm going to see it again in the theater, by the way.
That's you. I'm sure you will.
It's just so great. So that was it. We had all ads this week for our list. We had the Redline, Taylor Swift's Me video, not necessarily song, but video. Teen Spirit, Lunatics, and Avengers Endgame.
Cool.
Nice.
So now what I'm going to do is dun da 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 rank my favorite and least favorite films of Marvel's cinematic universe.
Go for it.
Okay. Coming in, do you guys want to guess what my least favorite and favorite is? You guys guess first.
Your least favorite. Well, you didn't see Ant-Man and the Wasp, so.
Well, I shouldn't say that. I didn't see it. I did watch it because it's on Netflix. I just was bored by it.
Yeah, yeah. So is that your least favorite?
Uh-huh.
Okay, cool.
So, Boom, are you gonna like?
I'm
so
gonna rank them, but I just want you to guess 22 and one.
Well, we'll do one.
I assume is Endgame. If it's not
one, is Thor Ragnarok.
Okay, this is my list.
Okay. All right,
22, Ant-Man and the Wasp. It just was not good, you guys.
Oh. I know. I agree, and I like Ant-Man, and I like Michelle Pfeiffer, but
21, Incredible Hulk.
Okay.
That's the one with Edward Norton back in the day. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 20, Ant-Man.
Oh,
but
wow,
I did like it.
Right.
I thought it was funny.
Okay. Okay.
He is so cute, Paul Rudd.
He is aging beautifully.
Mm-hmm.
19, Iron Man 3. 8.
Okay. Agree. I hate all of the Iron Mans. I'll be honest. Aww. I hate them all.
18, Iron Man 2.
Oh, wow. Okay. Is Gwyneth Paltrow's character annoying?
No.
Oh, okay. No. The name is annoying, so I was like,
Pepper Potts?
Yeah.
Nah.
17, Thor Dark World.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. 16, Doctor Strange.
Haven't seen it. Do I need to
see
it?
Yeah, you definitely need to see it.
Yeah, if there's a part of it in Endgame, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. It is a huge in Infinity War, huge in Endgame.
Oh, my God, Foom, I just realized. Is Tilda in Endgame?
Yeah.
Oh,
everybody
even though I know she shouldn't have played that role, but wow,
the movies
are
in this film.
Holy crap.
It took them 3 months to assemble like one of the scenes because it literally is like everybody you've seen from all the movies to get them all together. 3 months. Tangent, I went off track. Let's get back to my list.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
15, Captain America First Avenger.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
I like that.
Okay.
One.
14, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Okay. Haven't seen it.
13, Thor.
Okay.
12, Captain America Winter Soldier.
Yes, okay. That's a good one.
11, Captain Marvel.
Okay.
And now for the top 10.
Oh my God.
10, Iron Man.
Okay.
9, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Okay.
8, Spider-Man Homecoming.
Yeah.
Oh, you liked it that much.
It's so good.
It's so good.
Oh, it's so good.
That's great.
7, Civil War.
Okay. I haven't seen
what was the first Captain America? Civil War? Civil War or the first Avenger?
First Avenger.
Okay.
That's when you see Chris Evans like all
super
like
scrawny.
Emerge and he's like beautiful.
He is so cute.
Oh,
there's
God.
A really funny joke in Endgame where he says they call his ass America's ass. It's really funny.
Love it.
Where was I? Okay. 6, Avengers.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, the first one. Uh-huh.
5, Age of Ultron.
Okay.
4, Ragnarok.
Okay, wow.
3, Infinity War. 2, Black Panther. And 1, Endgame.
Oh, Endgame. Okay.
Wow.
Good for you, Foom. I love that.
That's amazing. That's really impressive that you have seen all of them, Foom. And Tom, have you seen any?
None. Zip. Zilch. Nada.
Well, Tom, you saw Black Panther, not even that.
No.
Oh, shit.
I cannot believe you haven't seen any of these movies.
Nope.
That is so funny. I've seen, now that we've gone through them all, I've seen most of them. I haven't remembered many of them. But
If I were to watch any of them, it would probably be the first Captain America because it takes place in the during World War II era and I'm a history buff. Mm-hmm. So that one interests me most.
I really like Captain America and Thor and Spider-Man. I'd say those three are my faves.
Oh, they're just all so good. Just so good. So it is quite sad to close this chapter on all these films.
Yeah, so like, so now do you think, Foom, like in the next whole batch of films, we're going to just be seeing a lot more new faces, new characters?
Yeah, I definitely think we will. And I'm really, really excited to see where Marvel goes with this next phase. These new characters, these new actors that they've hired to be part of this world. I don't know what to expect. I think that the genius.
And now I guess we'll see X-Men and
yeah,
people that are part of it that were at Fox.
There's a gay superhero rumor to be coming too.
Well, of course.
Duh. Now, you know what though, guys?
Tom,
you know,
that's all you got? You don't have any other news? See that. Tom's gaydar is beeping.
No, I don't even know that I'd go see that.
Oh. These movies are so funny. They're just full of adventure and fun and action. They're just all around a good time. Just a phenomenal time.
Yeah. And really good actors. I mean, like, yeah, the Chris's are all good. And, I mean, Robert Downey Jr. annoys me, but he's good. And I just feel kind of bad for Scarlett Johansson. When you look at all these movies, like, she never really had her own. And she's sort of always second fiddle, but
well, they're working on whatever. The rumor is they're working on one for her.
They're finally working on one now, right?
Yeah,
now.
Mm-hmm. And you know, it'll continue on Disney Plus because they have a show with Loki that's going to be on Disney Plus, and I also think they're working on something for Hawkeye, which was Jeremy Renner's character. So
oh yeah,
he never had
really
his own
got.
Movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you know, things are still coming. We ain't done. Ain't done. There's more to come, okay? I'm going to be talking about Marvel Studios for a long time.
Yeah.
And that is our show. That is our episode. So we just want to say thank you, as always, to Jay and to Allie for contributing to add this to your list. Also to Greg. You guys, we just love you so much. Mwah, 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 mwah. you can find us on social media, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. We're on Spotify. We're on iTunes. We're on Stitcher. We're on Google Play.
Nice.
I got them all. Yay.
You collected all those Infinity Stones.
I sure did.
So fucking invigorated after Endgame. Look at her.
Oh, my God.
I love it.
I am
genuinely happy for Foomy.
You know, I woke up this.
You made it.
I made it, you know. And that is our show, and we will catch you on the flip side.
Yeah, we will.
Love it. All right, bye.
Bye.